Part 1. 1. What's it going to be then, eh? There was me, that is Alex, and my three droogs, that is Pete, Georgie and Dim, Dim being really Dim. And we sat in the Corova milk bar making up our Razadox what to do with the evening, a flip, dark, chill winter bastard, though dry. The Corova milk bar was a milk plus mesto, and you may, oh my brothers, have forgotten what these mestos were like, things changing so scorry these days, and everybody very quick to forget, newspapers not being read much neither. Well, what they sold there was milk plus something else. They had no license for selling liquor, but there was no law yet against prodding some of the new veskies which they used to put into the old Maloko, so you could peat it with Velocet or Synthmesk or Drencrom or one or two other veshies, which would give you a nice quiet horror show 15 minutes admiring Bog and all his holy angels and saints in your left shoe with lights bursting all over your mosque. Or you could peat milk with knives in it, as we used to say, and this would sharpen you up and make you ready for a bit of dirty 20-to-1. And that was what we were peating this evening I'm starting off the story with. Our pockets were full of deng, so there was no real need from the point of view of crasting any more pretty Polly to toll-chock some old vec in an alley and viddy him swim in his blood while we counted the takings and divided by four, nor to do the ultraviolent on some shivering, starry, grey-haired petitza in a shop and go smecking off with the till's guts. But, as they say, money isn't everything. The four of us were dressed in the height of fashion, which in those days was a pair of black, very tight tights with the old jelly mould, as we called it, fitting on the crutch underneath the tights, this being to protect and also a sort of design you could viddy clear enough in a certain light so that I had one in the shape of a spider, Pete had a rooker, a hand that is, Georgie had a very fancy one of a flower, and poor old Dim had a very hound and horny one of a clown's litso face, that is, Dim not ever having much of an idea of things and being, beyond all shadow of a doubting Thomas, the dimmest of we four. Then we wore waisty jackets without lapels but with these very big built-up shoulders, plechos we called them, which were a kind of a mockery of having real shoulders like that. Then, my brothers, we had these off-white cravats which looked like whipped-up kartoffel or spud with a sort of design made on it with a fork. We wore our hair not too long, and we had flip horror show boots for kicking. "What's it gonna be then, eh?" There were three Dvotchkas sitting at the counter all together, but there were four of us Malchiks, and it was usually like one for all and all for one. These sharps were dressed in the height of fashion too, with purple and green and orange wigs on their gullivers, each one not costing less than 3 or 4 weeks of those sharps' wages, I should reckon, and make-up to match, rainbows round the glazies, that is, and the rot painted very wide. Then they had long black very straight dresses, and on the groody part of them they had little badges of like silver with different Malchik's names on them, Joe and Mike and such like. These were supposed to be the names of different Malchik's they'd spatted with before they were 14. They kept looking our way, and I nearly felt like saying the three of us, out of the corner of my rot that is, should go off for a bit of pole and leave poor old Dim behind, because it would be just a matter of cuppeting Dim a demi-litre of white, but this time with a dollop of synth mesk in it, but that wouldn't really have been playing like the game. Dim was very, very ugly and like his name, but he was a horror show filthy fighter and very handy with the boot. "What's it gonna be then, eh?" The Chelovek sitting next to me, there being this long, big, plushy seat that ran round three walls, was well away with his glazies glazed and sort of burbling slovos like
Aristotle, wishy-washy, works outing, cyclamen, get forficulate, smartish. He was in the land all right, well away, in orbit, and I knew what it was like, having tried it like everyone else had done. But at this time, I'd got to thinking it was a cowardly sort of a vesh, oh my brothers. You'd lay there after you'd drunk the old Maloko, and then you got the mess all that everything all round you was sort of in the past. You could vidy it all right, all of it, very clear. Tables, the stereo, the lights, the sharps and the malchicks. But it was like some vesh that used to be there, but was not there, not no more. And you were sort of hypnotised by your boot or shoe or a fingernail, as it might be, and at the same time you were sort of picked up by the old scruff and shook like it might be a cat. You got shook and shook till there was nothing left. You lost your name and your body and yourself, and you just didn't care. And you waited till your boot or your fingernail got yellow, then yellower and yellower all the time. Then the light started cracking like atomics, and the boot or fingernail, or as it might be a bit of dirt on your trouser bottom, turned into a big, big, big misto, bigger than the whole world, and you were just going to get introduced to old Bog or God when it was all over. You came back to here, and now, whimpering, sort of, with your rot all squaring up for a boo-hoo-hoo. Now, that's very nice, but very cowardly. You were not put on this earth just to get in touch with God. That sort of thing could sap all the strength and the goodness out of a Chelovek. What's it going to be then, eh? The stereo was on, and you got the idea that the singer's galos was moving from one part of the bar to another, flying up to the ceiling and then swooping down again and whizzing from wall to wall. It was Bertie Lasky rasping a real starry oldie called You Blister My Paint. One of the three petitzas at the counter, the one with the green wig, kept pushing her belly out and pulling it in time to what they called the music. I could feel the knives in the old Maloko starting to prick, and now I was ready for a bit of 20-1. So I yelped, ow, 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 like a doggy. And then I cracked this Vec who was sitting next to me, and well away and burbling, a horror show crack on the oko, or ear hole, but he didn't feel it, and went on with his telephonic hardware, and when the far-far-culool gets a rub-a-dub-dub, he'd feel it all right when he came to, out of the land. "We're out," said Georgie. "Oh, just to keep walking," I said, "and vidy what turns up, oh my little brothers." So we scattered out into the big winter notchy and walked down Margarita Boulevard and then turned into Boothby Avenue, and there we found what we were pretty well looking for, a Malenki chest to start off the evening with. There was a doddery, starry, schoolmaster-type Vec, glasses on and his rot open to the cold, notchy air. He had books under his arm and a crappy umbrella and was coming round the corner from the public biblio, which not many ludies used those days. You never really saw many of the older bourgeois type out after nightfall those days, what with the shortage of police and wee fine young Mal Chickiwicks about. And this prof-type Chelovek was the only one walking in the whole of the street. So we goolied up to him, very polite, and I said, "Pardon me, brother." He looked a malinky bit poogly when he vidded the four of us like that, coming up so quiet and polite and smiling. But he said, "Yes, what is it?" in a very loud, teacher-type galos, as if he was trying to show us he wasn't poogly. I said, "I see you have books under your arm, brother. It is indeed a rare pleasure these days to come across somebody that still reads, brother." "Oh," he said, all shaky, "is it? Oh, I see." And he kept looking from one to the other of we four, finding himself now like in the middle of a very smiling and polite square. Yes, I said. It would interest me greatly, brother, if you would kindly allow me to see what books those are that you have under your arm. I like nothing better in this world than a good clean book, brother. Clean, he said. Clean, eh? And then Pete squatted these three books from him and handed them round real scorry. Being three, we all had one each to vidy at, except for Dim. The one I had was called Elementary Crystallography. So I opened it up and said, excellent, really first class, keeping turning the pages. Then I said in a very shocked type galos, but what is this here? What is this filthy slovo? I blush to look at this word. You disappoint me, brother. You do really. But, he tried, but, now, said Georgie, here is what I should call real dirt. There's one slovo beginning with an F and another with a C. He had a book called The Miracle of the Snowflake. Oh, said poor old Dim, smotting over Pete's shoulder and going too far like he always did. It says here what he done to her, and there's a picture and all. Why, he said, you're nothing but a filthy-minded old skite bird. An old man of your age, brother, I said, and I started to rip up the book I'd got, and the others did the same with the ones they had, Dim and Pete doing a tug of war with the rhombohedral system. The starry prof type began to creech, but those are not mine. Those are the property of the municipality. This is sheer wantonness and vandal work, or some such slovos. And he tried to sort of wrest the books back off of us, which was like pathetic. You deserve to be taught a lesson, brother, I said. That you do. This crystal book I had was very tough bound and hard to razrez to bits, being real starry and made in the days when things were made to last, like. But I managed to rip the pages up and chuck them in handfuls of like snowflakes, though big, all over this creeching old vet. And then the others did the same with theirs, old Dim just dancing about like the clown he was. There you are, said Pete. There's the mackerel of the cornflake for you, you dirty reader of filth and nastiness. You naughty old vec, you, I said, and then we began to filly about with him. Pete held his rookers, and Georgie sort of hooked his rot wide open for him, and Dim yanked out his false zoobies, upper and lower. He threw these down on the pavement, and then I treated them to the old boot crush, though they were hard bastards like, being made of some new horror show plastic stuff. The old vec began to make sort of chumbling shooms. Whoop, whoop, whoop. So Georgie let go of holding his goobers apart and just let him have one in the toothless rot with his ringy fist, and that made the old vec start moaning a lot then. Then out comes the blood, my brothers, real beautiful. So all we did was to pull his outer platties off, stripping him down to his vest and long underpants, very starry. Dim smacked his head off near, and Pete kicks him lovely in his pot, and we let him go. He went sort of staggering off, it not having been too hard of a toll chock, really, going, oh, 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 not knowing where or what was what, really. And we had a snigger at him, and then rifled through his pocket, Dim dancing round with his crappy umbrella meanwhile, but there wasn't much in them. There were a few starry letters, some of them dating right back to 1960, with My Dearest Dearest in them and all that chapuka, and a key ring and a starry leaky pen. Old Dim gave up his umbrella dance and, of course, had to start reading one of the letters out loud, like to show the empty street he could read. My darling one, he recited in this very high-type galos, I shall be thinking of you while you are away, and hope you will remember to wrap up warm when you go out at night. Then he let out a very shoomy smeck, ha ha ha, pretending to start wiping his yarmer with it. All right, I said, let it go, oh my brothers.
In the trousers of this starry vec, there was only a malenki bit of cutter, money that is, not more than 3 gollies, so we gave all his messy little coin the scatter treatment, it being hen-corned to the amount of pretty Polly we had on us already. Then we smashed the umbrella and razzed his platties and gave them to the blowing winds, my brothers, and then we'd finished with the starry teacher-type vec. We hadn't done much, I know, but that was only like the start of the evening, and I make no happy polylogies to thee or thine for that. The knives in the milk plus were stabbing away nice and horror show now. The next thing was to do the Sammy act, which was one way to unload some of our cutter so we'd have more of an incentive like for some shop crasting, as well as it being a way of buying an alibi in advance. So we went into the Duke of New York on Amis Avenue, and sure enough, in the snug, there were 3 or 4 old babushkas peating their blackened suds on the SA, state aid. Now, we were the very good Malchicks, smiling good evensong to one and all, though these wrinkled old lighters started to get all shook, their veiny old rookers all trembling round their glasses and making the suds spill on the table. "Leave us be, lads," said one of them, her face all mappy with being 1,000 years old. "We're only poor old women." But we just made with the zoobies, flash, 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 sat down, rang the bell, and waited for the boy to come. When he came, all nervous and rubbing his rookers on his grazzy apron, we ordered us 4 veterans, a veteran being rum and cherry brandy mixed, which was popular just then, some liking a dash of lime in it, that being the Canadian variation. Then I said to the boy, "Give these poor old babushkas over there a nourishing something, large Scotchman all round, and something to take away." And I poured my pocket of deng all over the table, and the other 3 did likewise, oh my brothers. So 2 fire goals were brought in for the scared starry lighters, and they knew not what to do or say. One of them got out, "Thanks, lads," but you could see that they thought there was something dirty-like coming. Anyway, they were each given a bottle of Yank General, cognac that is, to take away, and I gave money for them to be delivered each 12 of blackened suds that following morning, they to leave their stinking old China's addresses at the counter. Then, with the cutter that was left over, we did purchase, my brothers, all the meat pies, pretzels, cheese snacks, crisps and chock bars in that mezzo, and those 2 were for the old sharps. Then we said, "Back in a minuta," and the old petitzers were still saying, "Thanks, lads," and "God bless you, boys," and we were going out without 1 sense of cutter in our carmens. "Makes you feel real dobby, that does," said Pete. You could vidy that poor Dim the Dim didn't quite pony all that, but he said nothing for fear of being called gloopy and a domeless wonder boy. Well, we went off now round the corner to Attlee Avenue, and there was this sweets and cancers shop still open. We'd left them alone near 3 months now, and the whole district had been very quiet on the whole, so the armed militants or ROS patrols weren't round there much, being more north of the river these days. We put our maskies on. New jobs these were. Real horror show. Wonderfully done, really. They were like faces of historical personalities. They gave you the name when you bought, and I had Disraeli, Pete had Elvis Presley, Georgie had Henry VIII, and poor old Dim had a poet vec called P.B. Shelley. They were a real light disguise, hair and all, and they were some very special plastic vesh, so you could roll up when you'd done with it and hide it in your boot. Then 3 of us went in, Pete keeping chasseau without. Not that there was anything to worry about out there. As soon as we launched on the shop, we went for Slouse, who ran it, a big port wine jelly of a vec who vidded at once what was coming and made straight for the inside where the telephone was and perhaps his well-oiled pushka, complete with 6 dirty rounds. Dim was round that counter, scorry as a bird, sending packets of snouty flying and cracking over a big cutout, showing a sharp with all her zoobies going flash at the customers and her grudies near hanging out to advertise some new brand of cancers. What you could vidy then was a sort of a big ball rolling into the inside of the shop behind the curtain, this being old Dim and Slouse sort of locked in a death struggle. Then you could Slushy panting and snoring and kicking behind the curtain, and Veshy's falling over and swearing, and then glass going smash, smash, smash. Mother Slouse, the wife, was sort of froze behind the counter. We could tell she would creech murder given one chance, so I was round that counter very scorry and had a hold of her, and a horror show big lump she was too, all nuking of scent and with flip-flop big bobbing grudies on her. I'd got my rooker round her rot to stop her belting out death and destruction to the four winds of heaven, but this lady doggy gave me a large foul big bite on it, and it was me that did the creeching, and then she opened up beautiful with a flip yell for the Millicents. Well, then she had to be toll-chocked proper with one of the weights for the scales, and then a fair tap with a crowbar they had for opening cases, and that brought the red out like an old friend. So we had her down on the floor, and a rip of her platties for fun, and a gentle bit of the boot to stop her moaning. And videoing her lying there with her grudies on show, I wondered should I or not. But that was for later on in the evening. Then we cleaned the till, and there was flip horror show takings that notchy, and we had a few packs of the very best top cancers apiece, and then off we went, my brothers.
A real big, heavy, great bastard he was, Dim kept saying.
I didn't like the look of Dim. He looked dirty and untidy, like a vec who'd been in a fight, which he had been, of course, but you should never look as though you have been. His cravat was like someone had trampled on it. His masky had been pulled off, and he had floor dirt on his lit so. So we got him in an alleyway and tidied him up a malenky bit, soaking our tashtooks in spit to chase the dirt off. The things we did for old Dim. We were back in the Duke of New York very scorry, and I reckon by my watch we hadn't been more than 10 minutes away. The starry old babushkas were still there on the blackened suds and the Scotchman we'd bought them, and we said, "Hello there, girlies, what's it going to be?" They started on the old, "Very kind lads, God bless you boys." And so we rang the collar call and brought a different waiter in this time, and we ordered beers with rum in, being sore athirst, my brothers, and whatever the old petitsas wanted. Then I said to the old babushkas, "We haven't been out of here, have we? Been here all the time, haven't we?" They all caught on real scurry and said, "That's right, lads. Not been out of our sight, you haven't. God bless you, boys." Drinking. Not that it mattered much, really. About half an hour went by before there was any sign of life among the Millicents. And then it was only two very young Rosses that came in, very pink under their big coppers schlemmies. One said, "You lot know anything about the happenings at Slouse's shop this night?" "Us?" I said, innocent. "Why? What happened?" "Stealing and roughing. Two hospitalisations. Where have you lot been this evening?" "I don't go for that nasty tone," I said. "I don't care much for these nasty insinuations. A very suspicious nature all this betokeneth, my little brothers." "They've been in here all night, lads," the old sharp started to creech out. "God bless them, there's no better lot of boys living for kindness and generosity. Been here all the time, they have. Not seen them move, we haven't." "We're only asking," said the other young Millicent. "We've got our job to do like anyone else." But they gave us the nasty warning look before they went out. As they were going out, we handed them a bit of lip music. But myself, I couldn't help a bit of disappointment at things as they were in those days. Nothing to fight against, really. Everything as easy as kiss my sherries. Still, the night was still very young.